Well, today we start with a new series called History Lessons. And we're looking at some of the psalms that are called historical psalms. And these are psalms that actually go back and go through the history of Israel a little bit. And it's a teaching time. It's something that's used, that was used in order to review Israel's history, but also to use as an impetus for living more fully the life of each person of the current time. Our theme for this series is this, is to, lesson from history is to recognize, we'll talk more about that, from Psalm 105. The theme for this series is to learn from history. We're thinking particularly the history the Bible gives us in order to live more fully today. You know, I don't know what your experience was with history in school. You know, maybe it was a favorite subject of yours, or maybe you just like, I just don't see why history really matters. Well, we're going to talk today a little bit and throughout this series about how history is important and how it does have an impact in our lives. George Bernard Shaw, which we don't often quote in a sermon, said, "We learn from history that we learn nothing from history." Unfortunately, it seems like we're not very good students of history to learn and to be able to take lessons into our own life that have happened that we can learn from history. Winston Churchill said, "Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." If we don't learn from history, then we're going to make some of the same mistakes and errors and fall into some of the same sins of those who went before us without really learning what we could have from history. But let's look at a couple of scriptures that tell us about why it's so important that we pay attention to things that have happened before us and to the history even that we have in the Old Testament. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So one of the things that history does for us is it teaches us. Notice what we find in 1 Corinthians here, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 6. It gives a little bit of what happened in Israel in the Old Testament. It says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." So part of the thing that history does is it keeps us from evil things. And then a little bit later in that same chapter, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." So we've been given the history of God's dealings with his people in order to teach us to have hope, in order to keep us from evil things, and in order to serve as a warning for us. So there's a lot that can be gained from history if our hearts are receptive to that message, if we're paying attention, if we will recognize what those truths are. And so we want to look today at this idea that we can learn from history to recognize truth about God, truth about life, and truth about you. We read all of Psalm 105. In your program, I just put verses 1 through 9 in there. We're not going to read over those again because we'll come back to those during the message. What can history help you recognize? I'm just going to flip through these slides here and get to this question right here. What can history help you recognize? Or what history can help you recognize? The history of God's dealings with his people can help you recognize a lot of things. But there are three that we can take from Psalm 105. And the first is this: that challenges come with the journey. This is a truth about life, that challenges come with the journey. Sometimes it's easy for us to be surprised when challenges keep popping up in our lives, can't we? It's like, this just seems like, why is this happening? You know, I've made a few visits to the dentist lately. Now, you know, It's nothing against the dentist. In fact, I have a great dentist. He's always asking me, am I hurting you, or sorry that I'm hurting you? So this really is nothing about my dentist. It's just about dentistry. And the thing is for me that every time I go to the dentist, it's a challenge. And it happens, though, that I get fooled. And I get fooled into thinking that maybe this time's going to be different. It happened just this last week. For some reason, I had it in my head that it just wasn't going to be that bad. I don't know if I was just trying to talk myself into that, or I got the wrong impression from my last visit about what this visit was going to be about, but I just had this idea in my mind, you know, this wasn't going to be so bad. But it just turned out that this last visit was just like the other times. And there's the whole Novocaine thing. Maybe I'm just a wimp. I don't know. But I just hate the Novocaine thing. And then, you know, it's all of those instruments that they use to work on you, right? I mean, should it really be legal for them to use some of those that equipment in your mouth? And then, you know, there's two of them, right, usually working on you, and one's pulling on your mouth in one direction and one in another direction. And then there's the sounds. This last time, I don't know what they were doing, but the sound, this high-pitched sound, was hurting my ears. And, you know, I wished I had earplugs. Now, does it make sense that something they're doing in your mouth should make a noise that you need earplugs for? I mean, I just think it's kind of a crazy thing. And it, to me, it's just this challenge. And then after it's all over and they say you can go, you have to go to the receptionist and talk to them, and you can't even talk because your whole mouth is numb. And, you know, when I get done at the dentist, I'm just glad I survived. I'm just glad that somehow I was able to walk out of the office. Now, I have to tell you guys the truth, that I don't usually make a habit of going to Starbucks. I mean, it's just not part of my weekly routine. But I've sort of made this kind of reward for myself, that if I survive at the dentist's office, then I go to Starbucks and I order a grande mocha. And even though when I drink it and my lip is numb and half of it sort of, you know, falls down the side of my face, I love it because it's a reward for having survived the challenge of going to the dentist. Now, that's a silly story in a way, but there's challenges that we face all the time, and we get surprised that these challenges are there sometimes. But notice some of the challenges found in Psalm 105. It talks about the people of God, that they were few in number, they were strangers, and they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. How do you think that would have been to go home at night and maybe not know if this is where your home was going to be, or if you're going to be moving again? Always or constantly be on the move would be a challenge to face. And then in Psalm 1, in verse 17 and 18, it talks about how Joseph, before the people of Israel came to Egypt, that God sent a man before them, Joseph. But notice how God sends Joseph. He sends him as a slave. He's sold as a slave. And it says they bruised his feet with shackles and his neck was put into irons. And it seems like, well, is that how it had to happen? That, you know, was that the challenge that, was it necessary to have this kind of a challenge in order for a way to be prepared for God's people to come? And then we also read in some of the other challenges that they face, that the people of Egypt hated them and that they conspired against them. So they faced many challenges. And Peter says this. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. People in Peter's day and people in our day, it's so easy just to think, why am I facing these challenges? Well, it's because challenges are a part of the journey. They're a part of the things. And this is one of the things to recognize from the history of God's dealings with his people, is that everything's not going to be smooth sailing. Challenges are going to be there, so expect it. Don't be surprised by it. Now, we have to say that challenges aren't evenly distributed. They don't all look alike. It can look like others are getting off easy while you've drawn the short stick. But we're all facing some kind of challenge. You may be dealing with a challenge at work, or a challenge at home, or a challenge with your finances, or a challenge with your health, or with a relationship, or even something as personal as your personality. Maybe is something that you find as this puts you in a challenging situation. It may be a particular circumstance that has happened to you, or it may be recent, or it may be something that's happened in the past that keeps surfacing as a challenge for you. Or something so very personal that you just feel like you can hardly speak to others about it. But you're facing a challenge. And this is one of the things that we should recognize from the history. As we read through Psalm 105, we realize they faced challenges. As we read through the New Testament, we find out they faced challenges. As we read through church history, we find out they faced challenges. So it's no surprise that challenges are a part of our journey as well, a part of our life. And maybe you don't recognize it, but challenges do something for you. There's a purpose that God is using those challenges for. They call something out of you. They drive you to God. They make you stronger. They may be helping you see that you need others. They're not for nothing. Have a purpose. God is using them in your life. In fact, let's go to that next point of what history can help us recognize. Not only that challenges come with a journey, but also that God's hand is at work. Many years ago, Jane and I, when we were living in Minneapolis, I was attending a seminary. There's a family where we were going to church, Jim and Judy, that they were just really special friends of ours. And Jim taught Sunday school. And for some reason, you know how sometimes you just remember something someone said a long time ago? And one of the things that I remember Jim saying, I don't know if it was in Sunday school or when it was, but I just remember him saying this. He said, God's hand is at work in your life. You may not see it, but his hand is at work in your life. And that stuck with me. You know, Psalm 105 talks about how God's hand is at work. Look in just these opening verses. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Then we jump down to verse 5. Remember the wonders that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he has passed. And we go on to verse 14. He allowed no one to oppress his people. For their sake, he rebuked kings. And when Joseph was put into prison and his feet were bruised and all that we read just before, then we read right after that, that happened till what Joseph foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. And then I have one more here, verses 26 and 27, that God sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen, when it came time for the deliverance. God's hand was at work. He sent Moses and he sent Aaron, and they performed God's miracle signs among the people, his wonders in the land of Ham. And then a little later, verses 39 through 41, how after the people came out of Egypt, God spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked God, and he brought them quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. Like a river, it flowed in the desert. God's hand was at work. God was doing things. And even during the time that the people of Israel were, if we call it the wilderness wandering, the time that they were having to live in the desert before they were able to go into the promised land. Moses spoke to them about what that time was about in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he said, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. What was he doing? What was God's hand doing? To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. And here, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines, or this word means teaches, or to bring up, as a man brings up his son, so the Lord your God was teaching you, disciplining you, bringing you up. This was the hand of God at work in their lives. This is what God was doing. And I don't know how you think the story of your life is being written out, or of your family, or even of this church. But one thing that I can assure you of, and that is that God's hand is at work. You can count on it. That means there's a purpose going on. That means there's a presence in your circumstance, God's presence. That means God is doing something, that he's up to something in these challenges you're facing. He's teaching you. He's training you. He's being a father to you. And just like God's hand was at work in the history, as we've read in Psalm 105 today, we may not be seeing it, but we can count on the fact God's hand is at work in the things you are going through in your life right at this time, right at this moment. This is one of the things to recognize from history. But let's look at the third and final thing we're going to look at today as what we can recognize from history. And that is, if I can get this to work, that you have been handed the baton. Now, the aim of this psalm is to call out praise from God's people. It was also to encourage them regarding God's continuing purpose, and it was to call them to live in line with God's will. The ESV Study Bible says this psalm calls each member of the congregation to recognize, that's what we're talking about today, to recognize that they are an heir and beneficiary of all these great deeds that God has done, so that each one will embrace their calling to live as a member of God's holy people. You know, history isn't just so that we'll know what happened. When God reviews this history, it's not just so that we can pass a quiz. History is to help us see that now it's our turn. It's to help us realize these things that happened are given as examples so that our life can be lived more fully today. And in a sense, what we can say is they ran their part of the race. And in a relay race, you know, only one runner gets to run at a time. You know, you might have four runners who are part of the relay race, but they don't all run at the same time. They carry a baton. And the baton goes from the first man, and he does his best to run during that part of the race. But then he gets to the end of his race, his part, and he hands the baton off to the next runner. And it's that runner's turn to carry the baton for his part of the race. And so this is what's happened. And if you read Psalm 105, just think of it this way. Let me read it a little differently to you. Think of it this way, where God is saying, you give thanks to the Lord. You call on his name. You make known among the nations what he has done. You sing to him. You sing praise to him. You tell of all his wonderful acts. You glory in his holy name. You let the hearts of those who seek the Lord, you rejoice. You look to the Lord in his strength. You seek his face always. He's addressing the people right then and there. And he's saying, here's what's on you to do as a result of hearing all of this psalm. This is the present moment, and it's important that you respond to this moment that we have right here. Another historical psalm is Psalm 78. We're not going to have a chance to look at this one in our studies. In Psalm 78, it begins by saying, O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old, what we have heard and known and what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Do you see a baton being passed on here? From one generation to the next generation, the baton is being passed. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. The story of Old Testament Israel has been written, and the story of the early church has been written, and the history that's happened since then has been written. It's all been written, but time has reached this point, this day, this hour. And this is the story right now of God and his people and his work in the world. Right now, you are in this story. You're holding the baton of this time. And it's not a prideful thing to say that, this is our time. It's basically saying it's our turn. And soon our day is going to pass, and the story is going to continue with others. But now, right now, the baton is in our hands. So what are we holding back on? What in your life as a follower of Jesus are you saying someday about? What gifting has God given you that is lying unused in your life? What opportunity have you been ignoring that it's time to say yes to? I don't know, maybe you can't say yes to it right now. But are you awake to the fact that this is your time? That we are in a moment of history. We look back and we say, well, I wish I was alive back in that time. Or we look ahead and we go, I'm looking forward to this. And there's something good about those, but the deal is you can't live in yesterday, and you have no promise of someday, and all you have is today. And this is a big day because it is God's current day. It is the history of God's people right now. And sometimes I just get caught up in watching TV. Sometimes I get caught up in doing things that just don't really matter that much. And personally, I'm getting to the point where I don't want that to be the case. I want to do what God has put on my plate to do. I want to be, it may not be this huge, amazing thing that people are going to look at and go, wow, but it's the part of the race God wants me to run. It can be behind the scenes. It can be seemingly insignificant, but you know when you are doing what God has called you to do. And you know when you're saying yes to God or when you're saying, no, God, maybe someday. And all I'm trying to say to you today is that today is that day. Today is someday. And it's time. It is time. It is time. Because we have just a brief time in this race. Our time is coming soon that the baton will not be in our hands. It's going to go to the hands of the next generation. And what will the story be told of the time we ran the race? What will it be written? What will it be said? What will be known? What will be passed on to that generation about how this generation ran their race? I want it to be inspirational. I want it to be something encouraging. We didn't read verse 8 of Psalm 78. I asked Allison to take it off the screen because it says, so that they, the current generation, wouldn't be like their forefathers who rebelled and who wouldn't follow what God said. I don't want that to be our story. I don't want that to be my story. I want, by God's grace, by His love, by His compassion in my life, I want it to be a story that inspires, a story that encourages, a story that helps people say, you know what? I can do that too. I can carry the baton in my race so that others are encouraged. Well, let's quickly wrap up as I'm making it personal. First of all, look for God to use Psalms, these historical Psalms that we'll be going through. I'm going to give them to you right now. Psalm 105, Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 135, Psalm 136. We have five historical Psalms we're going to be looking at in this series. I'd like for you just to begin to ask God to use these Psalms, those three things that we saw at the beginning of the message, to teach you, to keep you from some evil, and to warn you, to serve as a warning to you. So, first off. Secondly, recognize God's hand is at work in your life today. Just be looking for, what is God doing in my life? Where is He at work? In me, in my circumstances, in the people around me. Just begin to recognize that. And then realize that this is your time. This is your time. Romans 13, it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I like what the King James says here. It says, it is high time. It is high time that we wake from our slumber. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's time we learned from history. We learned to recognize some things. We learned to recognize that challenges are a part of the journey, that God's hand is at work, and that the baton has now been passed to us. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful so much this morning for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're thankful, Lord, for the life that he lived. We're thankful for his sacrifice given so that our sins could be paid for, so that we could enjoy the fullest life possible here, but also eternal life with him forever. Lord, he has given us an amazing life. We want to live that life to the full in this present day, this day that is our time, our hour. May we fully glorify you, Lord, by the way that we live the life that Jesus has given us. We pray in his name. Amen.